It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Big parties, big events, always better at Chickie's and Pete's. Book your next one at chickiesandpetes.com. Good Phil's crowd in here. Obviously want to get in the stadium early for Wall of Fame. They want everybody in there by 6. Is that is that what they want everyone in there
good
for?
Amount of, also yep. A good amount of Tigers fans.
Yes, there are. There are. Well, I see 2.
That's more than we usually see.
Yeah. No, there's another table over there, maybe.
Been a few
I saw these
in,
guys.
Yeah.
These guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's another table over there. Get out of here.
Point directly at them.
Yes.
What, there's not. All right. I understand. I would be disappointed, I guess. There's like a full. Yeah, yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Like the Tigers.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you feel better or worse about the Phillies after the trade deadline? 64% feel better. Let's get to the favorite, best part of the WIP Afternoon Show.
Each the five.
All right, man.
At five.
It's Friday at five.
With Jack Fritz.
Beautiful five.
By the way,
spit my special gum out.
They're wearing Tigers gear.
Yeah.
Like, I can point them out. People are going to, whatever. All right.
Oh, shit.
I feel you.
I know. So what I have for you today, obviously, Jimmy Rollins going into the Phillies Wall of Fame tonight. It's my yearly plea of please find something between retiring a number and the Wall of Fame. I would like something.
Yeah, J-Rose should be separate from
Ed Waite.
90% of the people on this wall.
Yeah, Mike Lieberthal. Like, there's a difference between what Jimmy Rollins meant to this franchise and the other Wall of Famers. Not to
or
discredit.
Schmitty or
but Schmitt's number's retired.
Sure, gotcha, yeah. But he is on the Wall of Fame, though, right?
Of course, but like, but he's got to bestow the highest honor,
right?
Like, those guys should also, but and it's only not because they're not in the Hall of Fame.
By the way, those numbers are unofficially retired,
so no one's ever going to wear 11, 26, and 6 again. I don't think 35's already been unbelievably given out
to
Oscar Mercado, Bradley Zimmer, and there's one whatever.
Yeah, somebody last year, right?
Well, there's someone, whatever. David Dahl. And then David Dahl, he was the last one because Hamels was retiring. And they were finally like, oh, gee, maybe no one should wear 35. God, it makes me so mad. Anyway, also, there is a...
Oh, no, here we go.
There is a documentary about J-Roll the Phillies put together.
Oh, yeah, is it on Netflix?
No, it's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
It's on
YouTube. They cut J-Roll out of the documentary?
No, they didn't.
Are you sure he's in it?
It's called My Way.
Really?
Yeah, so okay. It's 10 a.m.
Wow, at least they got one of them right.
10 a.m. Sunday morning, a documentary about Jimmy Rollins. So looking forward to watching that. But what I have for you is the 5 best Jimmy Rollins moments, because not all of them were on the field, including number 5 when he laid down the hammer before the season.
Would you say right now that because you're pitching that you guys are a team to beat in the NL East?
I think we are a team to beat in the NL East, finally. But, you know, that's all on paper. You look at the Mets staff and, you know, I look at them, I'm like, those are getting old. You know, and we have the young guns. Everybody's in their prime.
Yeah, he is the best.
Yeah, dude. And obviously, kind of a ridiculous statement to say when he hadn't made the playoffs in 15 years.
That we're the team to beat.
We're the team to beat.
The Mets staff is getting old.
Yeah. And, I mean, he heard it from Mets fans. He had no problem going out and saying that we're the team to beat. He was pretty good with predictions. So in 2009, early in the season, he said it's going to be us and the Yankees in the World Series because we've got something to defend and they're really good. Like, he not a bad prediction guy, Jimmy Rollins, but team to beat, an iconic Jimmy Rollins moment.
Great quote.
Number 4. Now, he was obviously great in the field, Jimmy Rollins. I mean, I took for granted, I think, after Jimmy Rollins, what it was like watching him play shortstop. Every throw seemed to be right on the money. The old patented ball up the middle, spin, throw, perfect. I mean, a cannon. But maybe the most iconic defensive play was one to end the NL East.
Brown ball up the middle. J-Roll dives to Utley. One relay. The Phillies are the National League Eastern Division champions on a spectacular double play. Turn J-Roll to Utley to Howard.
Not an easy play. It was a little bit to his left. Ball was hard hit. It's obviously a clutch moment. I mean, that's to It protected Brad Lidge's perfect saves record if that gets through him. A great defensive play by J-Roll, one that he made look routine when other shortstops would not have made it look as routine.
Great to hear, HK. And there's something awesome about watching a great defensive shortstop.
Love it.
That's why you can't stop thinking about Lindor.
Well, it is. When you watch him, you know, Ike and I grew up with Ozzie Smith and Barry Larkin.
Yes, sir.
You know, Ozzie Smith was the wizard.
The wizard, brother.
It, more than any other, a great defensive outfielder is fun, but a great
shortstop,
it's like dancing. It's like ballet out there, you know, that they're the ability to mix the sort of the speed and grace and strength you need to do it. I love watching great defensive
shortstop. A-Rod was great, too, with Seattle out there playing shortstop.
Yeah,
he was.
6 foot, like, three shortstop.
Yeah. Yep.
Not used to seeing that. All right, the third best J-Roll moment is when it became the franchise's all-time hits king.
There you go.
And now the three ball, one strike pitch to Rollins. Yeah! A line drive toward right field. There it is! Jimmy Rollins is now the franchise leader in base hits with 2,235.
If people forget he's the franchise leader in base hits, especially
people,
you.
People forget that.
Yep.
And who could forget? Schmidt comes out.
Yep.
And raises his hand. They weren't sure, I guess, that Schmidt was going to show up. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
It's like this whole thing. Is Schmidt going to be there when Rollins?
It was kind of like he came out. It was almost like a surprise that he came out there the first place.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yep.
Are you looking in your own book?
Well, so I did a whole thing on the pillars of the 08 team.
Okay.
It was Rollins, Utley, Howard, and Hamels. I just wanted to remember some of the things. So franchise leader in hits at 2,306. Franchise leader in doubles, franchise leader in leadoff home runs, franchise leader in total at-bats, record holder for longest hitting streak, 38 games in 05. It was 05 and 06.
We know it.
Which you guys don't count as a real hitting streak.
Well, it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
Second in franchise history in games, plays, total bases, extra base hits, and stolen bases. Third in franchise history in runs, singles, and triples.
Wow.
That's a pretty good resume.
Pretty good resume.
Pretty good resume.
Pretty good resume.
James Calvin Rollins.
Just as good to go into the Wall of Fame with Ed Wade.
Exactly right. Yeah. The second best J-Roll moment, and I think Scott Fransky's most underrated call, the final day, 2007.
This is my favorite.
Not only did they clinch the NL East, but J-Roll also clinches 2020.
20 triples!
Yep, here it is.
Here's the stretch, the kick, and the pitch. Swing and a line drive. Hit deep right field, down into the corner, and this is in there for a base hit. Post scores. Rollins on his way into second. He's going to try for third. Here's the relay, and it is not in time!
They got it!
Triple number 20 for Jimmy Rollins here on the final day of the season! He has gotten to 20, 20, 20, and 20 in the most dramatic fashion. 5-1 Phillies.
Ooh, that gave me goosebumps.
Yep.
That's a great call.
Dude, the 07 NL East clincher is such an all-time game.
That was my first. I just got back here. I got back here right in the thick of that race, like in July, August.
They chased down the Mets. Seven outs, 17 to play. Mets are getting blown out early in the game. Glavine gets lit up by the Marlins. The crowd's going wild before the Phillies even take the field. Moyer starts the game to send the Phillies back to the postseason for the first time in 15 years. Like, it was poetic. The rally towels are crazy. J-Roll gets that, and Meyer strikes out Willie Mopeña.
The other thing?
Willie Mopeña, boy, that's a name.
Fransky sounds young there.
He definitely sounds. I didn't even know that was Fransky.
Yeah, like, you can hear. Obviously, it's, you know,
19 years ago. That's disgusting to say.
Well, I always notice that every time when I'll hear an old tape of my dad or even Howard Stern, like, because I'll hear old Stern and I'll be like, wow, he sounds so much younger.
It's
now
eight,
he is.
18 years ago.
He is much younger. What year? Wait.
It's 18
it's 2007.
Years ago. That's what I said.
Yeah, 18 years.
It's when I came back, so I know it is.
I'm 18.
Empathetic. Sympathetic.
Sympathetic?
Molehole?
Molehole. I would never point out that Curtis Granderson also had a 20-20 and 20-20 season that year, but who cares?
All right, who cares?
Nobody cares.
Even on a day that we're honoring.
Utley hit 337.
Yep, you're hating.
There it
hating.
Is. He can't stop himself. He gone so far, he went 9 minutes in.
Yep. No, I'm just kidding.
He was doing great.
Well, yeah, at least I'm not doing the Matt Holliday should really want to MVP that year. But number one, the best France he call until Bedlam at the Bank. The walk-off against the Dodgers here.
Oh, yeah.
Swing and a drive, right center field. This one is falling. It's a base hit. It'll go up the alley. Rutland will score. Ruiz around third. He is being waved home. The Phillies have won the ball game. Ruiz slides. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout.
Yeah.
Rollins ball near third. This game is over as the Phillies strike again with two outs in the ninth inning, and they have a 3-1 lead.
Wow. L.A. was happy.
So good. So good.
Happy L.A. is great. We don't hear a ton of happy L.A. anymore.
But, dude, like L.A. in 22 got it back. 23 got it back. He was right back with the remembering that baseball is awesome. So that was awesome. In 08, stares at the home run off of Broxton. They had that moment against Broxton. And then they had like a big regular season come back the year later.
Now, listen.
Dominating Jonathan Broxton.
I know they couldn't do all these guys at once, and I wouldn't expect them to.
Pause.
Somebody had to go first, and somebody will be last.
Wow, pause.
But you guys know and I know, this thing is setting up for Utley to be the last one to go in.
Probably.
Which means they view him as the biggest one.
Yeah.
Well, hold on, Rollins is the leadoff hitter.
Oh, is that what it is?
I don't know.
Well, then if Utley goes next, then that'll
add up. You could have sold me on that one.
Yeah, maybe.
The Rollins is the leadoff hitter.
Well, but then Utley would have to go next.
I think when they did this a couple years ago, because they all officially retired the same year, I believe, and they spread it out all over a couple weeks, and I think Utley was last.
Yeah.
Come on.
Third best player.
Best player. And then that's why
third
he's last.
Best player.
That's why he's the best, dude. That's why he's the best.
I mean, he's Philly's. They're not the same thing. He's like Philly's Doc. Utley is.
Yeah, but people are.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, people are starting to. People are starting to.
I couldn't tell that. No, I can't tell with that.
Sour on his legacy.
You just told me Bryce is like Philly's Doc.
Well, I guess neither of them won a championship. So, no offense.
I forgot you was on this kick. About taking down Dog.
I'm not, no.
No, you're taking down Dog.
No, that is not what I'm saying. That is not.
That is what you're saying.
Do not misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm just trying to make sure everybody
a valid
has
point.
A coherent moral code.
I will say this.
Yeah.
I love the fact that none of those numbers have been given out.
Yes.
And we're talking about, 15 years now almost?
No,
10 years since they played here. How long has it been since they played here?
Yeah, so Rollins was traded in 14, so it's been 10.
10.
And then, so Utley was 15, and then Howard was retired after 16.
They're probably going to retire all three of the numbers.
Well, so, again, they would have to break their tradition, which is you have to be in the Hall of Fame. So,
which they now, Richie wound up getting in.
Yeah, so they did it early, I guess projecting that he was going to go in. And they, Halliday. But... Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to wear 11-6 and 26 ever again. I just don't know if they officially retire. I would officially retire because I think they meant so much.
So let me ask you this. So we're not going to get another retired number until who? Bryce goes in the Hall of Fame?
Wheels, 45, maybe?
It's hard for a pitcher to get in.
I know, but if these next two seasons go the way that these last couple have gone, and he mixes in a Cy Young, which might not happen with Skeens now, and he has another, he needs obviously needs more.
Yeah.
But
there would be a case
of being like the best pitcher in the National League or one of the three best pitchers.
And they
got to
change
League.
The criteria too.
Well,
the Phillies, yeah.
No, I meant these Hall of Fame voters.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the problem, by the way, this hour is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Get 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDE or visit goguida.com. The problem, specifically with pitchers, is that baseball does have these certain numbers.
Yeah.
There's 3,000 hits.
Yeah, 300 wins.
500. And the wins thing and the inning, like, all the numbers for pitchers are all screwed up.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So they need to change that criteria.
Yeah, I think the longer, the older we get and the more it goes on, the criteria for pitchers is just going to have to change.
Yeah.
DeGrom's going to be one that breaks it.
You think DeGrom's going to make it?
I think there's a chance.
Oh,
dude,
he's not enough.
He's gonna his career ERA is in the low to mid twos.
Yeah,
and he's
well. How many full seasons has he pitched? Seven.
Yeah.
Well, but I guess real or not too much. Yeah, dude, I don't know.
It's hard. Well, nobody like we got to get off. We got to go from 500 home runs to 400. If you get to 400, you should get in.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of guys that shouldn't be in that have 400 home runs.
Okay.
I just like to
I
me,
still think 500 is not as unachievable anymore as 300 wins.
Like, here's the thing, Giancarlo.
Yeah, to me, I agree with that. Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton has 430 home runs. I don't know
another
if he's
Yankees pull by you. Interesting. Interesting.
And you don't think he's a Hall of Fame player?
I just think
if they're going to keep out the steroid guys, like who are you putting in the Hall of Fame now?
A lot of eye tests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like like Verlander, for example, right? He's at 263 wins.
He's
like,
got to go in the
and
Hall.
He's
of Fame.
A lock. So I think Verlander and Scherzer
both should be in the Hall.
Two
of Fame.
Absolute locks. Off top of my head. But like the win stuff is just kind of dead. I still think 500 home runs is
achievable. So you think you still need 500 to get in?
Sure.
Well, I think 500 gets you in. I don't think you need 500. But 500
okay, so that's
gets
different.
You.
I see what you're saying.
Like, yes. Like,
in the case of Stephen Kwan,
you don't need 500 home runs to get in the Hall of Fame.
But if you get 500,
it should get you in there automatically.
You
in. Got you.
Stanton
got
will you. Be a weird one, by the way, because he could get to 500.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I will never think of him.
I'm
as
thinking
a Hall
about
fame.
Bryce because he may be a 400 doubles, and you know what I mean? Yeah. Like all these other numbers that
if Bryce has three more productive years, he's a Hall of Famer.
All
right. Now, if he retired right now, I don't think he is. Or he's close. He's an edge case.
Oh, sorry. Kershaw's a lock. Chris Sale's a lock.
Yep.
Just thinking of more guys that are.
Kershaw's definitely a lock.
Yeah, even with his postseason.
Doesn't matter. Like, he was just.
I know. I'm just.
Yeah, he won an MVP.
Garrett
yeah.
Cole. Yankee Ooh,
you got Garrett Cole.
I wouldn't, but maybe.
Yeah.
Bumgarner's going to be an interesting one. Hamels is going to be outside. Granky's on the outside.
Hamels is not a Major League Hall of Famer?
I know.
No.
Maybe the basketball.
I like Hamels. Yeah. I like Hamels. Yeah, if it was basketball, all these guys would be in.
Dude, DeGrom's going to be the one, man. His career A is 2.52. He's got 94 wins. He'll get to 100.
94 wins?
Dude.
And you think he gets in the Hall of Fame?
Dude.
Well, he was the most dominant pitcher.
He's got two Cy Youngs.
Last 20 years.
But 94
I know.
Wins.
I'm with
As
him.
Of right now, he's not dead.
He's hurt all the time.
Not this year.
Yeah, seems like he's always hurt.
Yeah.
Five-time All-Star.
215-592-9494. Travis in California, you're on WIP. What's up, Travis?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Travis?
Real quick, I don't know if you guys saw, but on Twitter, I take this with a grain of salt because Bob Nightingale half the time doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. But just like an hour ago, Alex Paul tweeted a video of Bob Nightingale saying that the White Sox apparently were begging the Phillies to take Luis Robert, and the Phillies had no interest, which is weird because all those rumors came out that they were interested. But like I said, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, Nightingale's a tough one, you know.
Yeah. Well, he's right sometimes.
Right sometimes, wrong. Yeah.
Well,
he's not John Heyman.
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I think if we were to translate this into what really happened, is that the White Sox were interested in trading Luis Robert, and I think it's probably true that the Phillies didn't have a lot of interest in him.
I think the asking price for Luis Robert was way too high for what the Phillies thought he was.
It's
notable that he didn't get traded as well.
And the White Sox, I think, also have a super unrealistic view of what – well, I guess it's tough because his talent is super high. They probably know he's going to go elsewhere and be a pretty good player. But also, like, teams just think they should be able to get him for nothing. So, I don't know. It's a tough one. That one doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Also, I'm sure you guys have already seen it, but Rob Thompson said that apparently they can envision Harrison Bader in center field versus right-handed pitchers, but not yet. And I'm just like, what the hell does that – like, what does that dude have to prove? He's got the best stats out of all the outfielders that we currently have. Like, what do they mean, not yet? I don't know.
Yeah,
and
Harrison Bader's what?
What the hell is that?
He's like, what, 32 years old? I mean, it's not – we don't have to learn anything about Harrison Bader. His splits are pretty even, right?
Hmm?
Yeah.
So those are two things that I saw on Twitter that I just wanted to tell you guys. But real quick, the most frustrating part of all this is that if they just got one more guy along with Bader, I'm pretty sure we're all, like, on cloud nine, and it's like Bader feels like more of a great move, and it feels like a great deadline.
Yeah.
And I just want to be excited about Durant so bad, but it's like it's hard for me because I know they didn't do enough, like in what they needed to do. I'm so sick and tired of the platoons. They make it seem so impossible to find good outfield bats, whether it's off season, the trade deadline, whatever the case is. Like they're saying Max Kepler is swinging the bat better lately. Like how low are the freaking standards? They're supposed to be going for a championship, and you're starting a guy and saying, "Oh, he's looking better. He's hitting 203, and it's freaking August." It's August. Like we have 2 months left, and he's hitting 203. He's a couple games of continuing, and he's going to be hitting under 200. Like I just don't understand what. I don't know what they're doing, and it's pissing me off. But John and Dave also, like, I don't know who's more to blame. Like, I was mad at Dave for the longest time. I've called it in a couple times with you guys and ranted about Dave. But I don't really know if it's all him or if it's, like, Middleton as well. But John says in 2022 he's going to get his trophy back or he's going to die trying. He also said after that playoff run that he feels a deep obligation to get Harper a ring and surround him with the players that can help him accomplish that, which was total BS. I mean, they finally got to the postseason. They got a decent team again. And then, like, now they're just, like, gun-shy, and it makes no sense. They haven't added a bat worth of crap since Trey Turner in the 2022 offseason. Bryce has been here for, I don't even know, what, 7 years now, and he hasn't had a single competent bat behind him once in any of those years.
Well,
and it doesn't look like that's going to change at all. Like, they have prime Harper, prime Schwarber, prime Wheeler, and they're, like, halfway in, halfway out. It's like John was just happy to be relevant again, and he's just, like, satisfied with that. They needed to do more at the deadline. Sorry, go ahead.
Here's the other thing, Travis. Thank you for the call, Travis. This isn't the world, but and yes, I think both Middleton and Dombrowski are part of who makes the decisions. Like, Cody Clemens has, 13 home runs.
Yeah. I know.
Why didn't we trade for him?
I know. Why couldn't they send Kepler back to the Twins? They traded like their whole roster yesterday.
Yes.
On the platoons. I know the 93 team did it all over the field. I just think it's hard to win a World Series when you have a platoon at second base, platoon in center field, and a platoon in left field.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like that's where we're trending.
It's
a lot of platooning.
And then you got to second guess yourself if one of those guys is hot. Whether you decide to not platoon him or not, like, I don't know. It's making the job harder than it needs to be.
But why couldn't you just give some runway to Harrison Bader? Just give some runway to him.
Put him in center field. Let him play.
Just let him play.
Let him play.
You traded an interesting if-ish type prospect for him. Let him play. I don't get it. I'm telling you, they're trying to squeeze every possible ounce out of the Max Kepler thing to make sure he's done. I'm telling you, it's what it is. It's the only thing that makes sense. It should be Bader in center and Marsh in left. Just use him as Jeff Jenkins in 2008.
They play him every game.
No. Oh. Jeff Jenkins in 2008, Worth took the job, and Jenkins ended up being just a bench bat.
You're talking about Kepler.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I'm talking about Kepler.
Yeah, you can keep him on the team. You don't have to make him happy.
He could pop a home run.
Yeah.
He's had semi-big home runs this year.
Well, I don't know. He's got to play every day.
He doesn't. I don't know.
All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, we will get you ready for the Phils game. Phils Tigers. Feels like they've been off for a week.
Dude,
Phils.
I know. Because no one watched after they got Duran the other day.
Yes. Your thoughts on the Phils deadline? Do you feel better or worse with a day to think about it? We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big parties and big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's. Book your next one at chickiesandpeets.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.